welcome to I Guess We're Grown-Ups Now. I am one of your hosts, Carrie.
And I'm Brooke.
Hi, Brooke.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very well. How are you?
Pretty good.
I already asked you that.
I forgot how to count, apparently. I did a countdown, and I went from 5 to 3. So, you know, fours are not cool right now.
Right. 4 is out.
4 is out.
3 is the number. welcome to episode 32, I think, of I Guess We're Grown-Ups Now. Today, Brooke and I have decided that our topic is going to be...
Canada.
Oh, Canada. I will do my best to represent my nation. My knowledge is incomplete and flawed, but oh well. Enough disclaimers. That's true of literally everything we talk about on this podcast.
I think so. We briefly talked about doing a podcast episode about news, but it seemed too depressing, and Canada seemed like a nice... happy thing to talk about.
Yeah, we'll kind of do like a graze by of the news by talking about Canada.
Yeah. But like news from the other side.
Right.
Of the border.
Of the border. Yeah, exactly. Not that the United States is the only place where we have listeners, but I Guess We're Grown-Ups Now is brought to you by FeedPress. FeedPress is made for bloggers and podcasters. You need an analytics and hosting platform that provides you with the right tools to make your job easier so that you can get back to doing what you do best, creating stuff. FeedPress is a delightfully intuitive RSS analytics and podcast hosting platform with accurate analytics for RSS feeds and email newsletters. Tap into RSS subscriber, geolocation, podcast download, and link tracking metrics, which come standard on all plans. Sign up today at feed.press/goodstuff and try FeedPress on a 14-day commitment-free trial today. Use promo code GRONUPS during checkout to get 10% off your first year. Thank you to goodstuff.fm and FeedPress for hosting I Guess We're Grown-Ups Now.
Yay.
Okay. So,
Canada.
I have lived in Canada my entire life.
The whole thing.
I have visited a few other countries, but other than that, I've been here the whole time.
I've seen you in the Americas before. The other parts of the Americas.
It's true. I've been to Germany one time. I've been to Mexico and some Caribbean islands. Those would be the other places I've been, but Canada, I guess I know Canada. So it's not so much that I know a lot about Canada, it's that Canada is what I know the most.
Canada's what you know. Yeah, but I think it's important to just have that distinction. Just sort of like, this is, I'm also, so I should speak as an American from the United States of America and not Mexico or Canada or anything in South America. I had never been to Canada until I was in my early 30s, so like maybe a couple of years ago. But despite that, I spent a great deal of my formative years around Canadians because a lot of my friends growing up in Texas were Chinese Canadian expats. So they had like, maybe their folks had moved from Hong Kong or Taiwan to Canada. They grew up in Canada a bit. Then they moved to Texas after that.
Interesting.
Which is like a somewhat common path of entry, I think, from what I could tell for like a lot of, especially East Asian immigrants, because Canada had better immigration policies, I think. But
only slightly better.
But because of that, I think that, or maybe it was because of the British connection for Hong Kong, especially.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, so that is to say that my knowledge of Canada was largely secondhand until recently. But yeah, so.
And now you are a famous maple chaser.
And now, exactly. Which, if you're unfamiliar with that, the term indicates someone who mostly dates a lot of Canadians. which I do, because Portland, where I live in Oregon, is close enough to the border, about 5 hours away. So enough people come down here or move here or whatever, that the queer community is a little bit binational. And because of that, I've definitely gone out with a few Canadians.
Totally.
In addition to the fact that I'm not ashamed to go on dates when I'm out of the country and like hanging out with people. So
Right. You
I could do
sometimes
that.
come to Canada to do some dating too.
Yeah, do some dating, eat some poutine.
So to speak.
Not go to a poutine or not go to a Senators game, you know, just lots of things.
Yes.
So we have listeners in the United States and listeners in Canada and maybe other places, but for maybe our American listeners, like, do you ever get people who are like, hey, does Canada have states? Or
Oh,
what's the
yeah.
capital of Canada?
Well, we have a capital, but it is kind of embarrassing that nobody would know what it is. So it's Ottawa. We don't have states, we have provinces. There are 10 of them and three territories. And the territories, I guess, would be kind of like what Puerto Rico is to the US or like the Virgin Islands, but they're contiguous. They're connected to Canada. They're in the north, up around the Arctic. So yeah, we have all those things. And we don't have a president, we have a prime minister, and he's not elected. He's the leader of the party, which gets the most seats in the House of Commons, which is like your Senate or your, no, not like your Senate, like your
House of Representatives.
House of Representatives, thank you. So he is elected, but only by his party, and then, yeah. And he's Justin Trudeau, which, like, you have to have been hiding under a rock to not know who Justin Trudeau is because he's dreamy.
I think to quote the news,
And
he's the camp counselor your mom always warned you about.
we will
He's
totally link to a
awkwardly
Justin.
handsome.
Very, very cute.
Not nearly as
Very.
good looking as Obama was better looking than him. I'm just going to say, in my mind, Obama is still one of the most attractive, not the most attractive leaders we've had. Just in general, just like.
Yeah, definitely. He's more like in charge of like adult things, looking good looking than Justin is. Justin's cute.
Yeah, Justin looks like he might hit on you at the mall. Barack Obama looks
Yes.
like, you know, he might. Take care of, you know, you and your kids forever because he's just an amazing man.
How did you know that Justin hit on me at the mall?
Did he
That's
really?
uncanny. No,
No, I
he
was gonna
could.
say, that's like, you know, that time you were at the mall in Saskatoon. And he was like,
Exactly.
oh, hey there, Carrie. I took a pause from running the country for a little while to say hey.
So the other thing that I think that most people don't think about when they think about Canada, and that probably includes most Canadians, is that it was settled by mostly European colonists over the last couple hundred years. And most of the land that we settled on was like unfairly and under false pretenses, or certainly under poorly executed treaties that kind of cheated the indigenous people out of all kinds of good things. Like, white people promised that we would educate them and give them health care and take care of them and consult them on things like how the land was used, and we totally reneged on literally all of those
They also
treaty promises.
probably didn't promise them that you're going to murder a bunch of them either, but that definitely happened.
Oh, that definitely happened. We definitely, I mean, and the "we will educate your children" turned into "we will rip your children away from you and your communities when they're five, take them hundreds and hundreds of miles away, teach them to speak English, forbid them from speaking their native language, and horribly abuse them. And so even if they don't die along the way, like, they are not the people that they would have become had we not made you this promise. So, yeah, we've treated our indigenous population really badly. It's embarrassing.
And I think
And
as a person from the United States, I hear my Canadian friends talk a lot more about Indigenous folks. Usually when I'm at a literary reading or whatever else, my friends will start off by commenting on the fact that this is taking place on stolen land, and then like talk about the people who rightfully own the land. And it doesn't happen in America as or in the United States as much. Like it's very unfortunate because we slaughtered millions and millions of indigenous folks in our country as well. I guess on their land, but eventually in the place we turned into our country, quote unquote. And yep. And the history of indigenous folks in America is like of repression and disappearance and sort of keeping them out of the conversation even. But I'm always glad to see that folks in Canada are able to talk about it. Although, yeah, I don't... It's all the awful nightmare, I think.
Yeah. And I am no authority on it. And I feel like my job as someone who has a platform on this podcast or whatever it is, like probably the best I can do if you want to know more or if you've never heard about the horrible way Canada treated Indigenous people, would be to research residential schools
yeah.
and the Truth and Reconciliation Project and missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Even if you just
yeah.
do hashtag MMIWG, you will find information about the horrors we wrought upon the wonderful people who were just living here for thousands and thousands of years before we arrived and then just completely... ran them over. But yeah, definitely educate yourself if you don't know what any of those things are or how horrible they are.
And I think it's one of those things that, you know, a lot of people in the US don't think of, especially when they're like, oh, Canada, like what a great place. I could go there and escape from 45. Like I can like cross the border and not have to deal with America anymore. And it's just not really like that. I think even like last week I saw a quote from Drake where he was talking about Drake, famous Canadian, who was on Degrassi. Sorry, Degrassi Next Generation, I think he was on. He was on the second one. Like, he was able to all at once make a whole bunch of people mad because he was talking about how, like, you know, racism didn't really exist in Canada and how, you know...
he knows
yeah.
better than that.
But he made it sound like that was not the case. I don't know where the quote is. You can see me find it for the show notes, but I think it's one of those things where people will look at places like Canada or Sweden and imagine that it's a, you know, liberal utopia where like everyone's okay and like people are treated fairly and that, and it's really not the case. Like, I think that especially when Harper was in charge, you guys were a lot closer to us than I think people are really comfortable with. And even still, like in places like Saskatchewan and Alberta, there's still a lot of like conservative government,
well, for
right?
For example, the provincial and the federal government even just okayed the pipelines. Like the pipelines are going to happen, and those
yeah.
cross native land, even
yep.
like reserve land, and it's going to end up completely polluting water
mm-hmm.
that people rely on. And it's the native people; they're the only ones who are standing up to object to it. And the rest of us just sort of sit around with our thumbs in our asses. And
yeah.
And meanwhile, they're doing the hard work to protect the land that they like are sharing with us. And
right.
It's embarrassing.
Sort of like the Dakota Access Pipeline, but like,
yep.
it sounds like less support from people locally.
Well, the Dakota Access Pipeline will go through Canada. Like that.
Oh, okay.
It's a pipeline that leads up to the Canadian oil field. So yeah.
It's the same one. Okay.
The same one.
God.
Yeah. And missing and murdered Indigenous women is a plight that continues today. They're constantly Indigenous women going missing off the street. Cops will say, oh, like, has she run away before? And she lives a high-risk lifestyle. And not investigate. And there's, like, women getting kidnapped and murdered and trafficked. And
yeah.
And the cops don't care.
It's wild.
And because the cops... are like insanely prejudiced against them by their upbringing.
Right. I also have a lot of friends in Canada who have done or do sex work, and
mm-hmm.
and province to province, the attitudes towards it seem pretty different. But some of my friends who are in Toronto or Vancouver have like talked to me about like sort of a strange I guess in some parts they adopted like the Nordic model, which prosecutes or like criminalizes the person buying the services, the John versus the sex worker, but still ends up hurting the sex worker because they have to use gray or black market like means of like advertising or setting up work so that they don't lose their clients. Because like they can't make money if their clients get arrested, and it pretends that like all sex workers are people who are being trafficked or people being in some way abused or exploited when that's not the case. And like yeah, so I think the long story short is like we can definitely both vouch for the fact that Canada has quite a few problems. It is not maybe the utopia that you've thought of as a place to flee from the horrors of the United States. And it turns out like a lot of the trade deals and a lot of the things and multinational corporations cross the border as well. So,
There were Canadians on the Panama Papers.
no way.
Oh,
Yeah, and
yeah.
like and as much as it seemed like Trudeau did not want to shake hands with Donald Trump, they did still shake hands.
Totally did.
On the flip side, like what are some dope things about Canada that people might not know? Like what's some exciting stuff that
Well, here's a thing. I cannot say enough good things about socialized medicine.
Woohoo!
I mean, we have a flawed system. It's not perfect,
No
but
dental, no vision.
no dental, no
No
vision,
therapy for medical care.
correct. Therapy is not covered. What is else is not covered? Your IIUD is not covered. Did I just say IIUD?
IIUD. It's the inter-uterine. It's the you have an IUD for your IUD. It's IUD is all the way down or up. Sometimes you have two like sets of fallopian tubes, and you just have to
Hey, I
like.
know somebody who has two uteruses. Anyway, that's a side. That's a completely other story, and it's not my story to tell,
Totally.
really. Only she should
Word.
tell that story. But IUD is also not covered. And there's issues with like waiting lists and stuff like that. But let me tell you, I've had two cesarean sections, two broken arms. My husband's had erect knee and shoulder surgery 3 times. My
Yeah.
one daughter has a peanut allergy. These are enough things to put your average human being like in the poorhouse, and we paid for almost nothing, like
That's
a
amazing.
few $100 out of pocket for all of that stuff combined. Like, it's pretty good.
How much is college?
Oh, I don't know. I don't actually know. Ask me in a couple of years when I've
Oh,
got a kid going.
I thought the trick is like a lot of college is also free. It's also state paid for, right?
No, nope, no,
No?
we don't have state
Nope.
colleges. No.
Well, see, you're disabusing me of those knowledges or that those that information that I had that was
That's right.
false.
No, that we do not have.
Okay.
But and it's not a bad idea, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm pretty socialist at heart, really, but I get a little like I mean, we don't have it, so I'm less like it's awesome, which
Right.
is pretty much how everybody seems to act once they get socialized services. But I love socialized medicine. It like the healthcare system. Whew, yay. And forget this single
Yeah.
payer stuff. Like just it's just so easy. If you make a doctor's appointment, you walk in, you get your help, you walk out, it hasn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Like
Yeah.
you maybe you've paid for parking.
Whereas here, there's even like, I've had situations where even with pretty good health care, I owed thousands of dollars when I had my hand surgery or things like that. And it's scary. And I have a lot of friends who are poorer here in America that
Yeah.
like when they are trying to sort out like, hey, how can I afford to go to get this taken care of? Like I have an infection and I can't quite pay for it. And so like will I be able to like get that treated before it actually kills me?
Right. So then it gets worse. So you're not doing preventative health care either.
Or am I going to be in a situation where I'm like, well, I got that taken care of, but now I can't afford anything. Like now I'm like
Right.
in like you said in the poorhouse. Excuse me, it's really scary. And I think that like the idea of like how much more art could be created, how many more people could be like doing things like working as a teacher or whatever else, if they had that kind of healthcare where they didn't have to just like constantly think like, well, can't, they would be amazing.
Yeah. Another good thing I have to say about Canada is we have pretty good parental benefits. So should you choose to have children, as we have previously discussed,
right?
Let me see if I can get this right. Something like 19 weeks of maternity leave. So for the person whose body has gone through the physical act of creating and then expelling into the world another human being, there's 19 weeks of leave. And then on top of that, there's enough to add up to 50 weeks of parental leave. So
wow.
You can split that between the two parents or two parents. I'm making assumptions here. If there are two parents involved, you can split them up. But so for a total of 50 weeks of leave, at which point your employer is required to give you back a job that is equivalent to the one that you left.
Equivalent. So, see, that's amazing.
Yeah. Now there are often, we don't have enough time to go into like the risks you take when you take a year off your job, but yeah, the law is there to protect you, and it makes for one of the great things about long leaves is that employers will actually go out and get a temporary fill-in for you. So it's not as much of a burden on the coworkers you're sort of leaving behind. If you're just gone for 3 months, your employer probably isn't going to backfill you. But if you're gone for a year, they almost always do. And it's a little bit easier on at least larger workplaces. Well, and smaller workplaces too. But yeah, I took advantage of the full mat leave both times. And yeah, it was nice to be able to spend time getting to know my kid, letting my brain and my body get back to a little bit of normal, because it's hard on you to go through sleep deprivation and hormone fluctuations like that.
Wait, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, way.
Right? And it's like, it's one of those things too, that's just like, it's so ludicrous that it doesn't just exist for everyone, because it seems like such a no brainer. Like, hey, if you have people who are fully trained in the workforce and like you actually care about the healthcare and the health and well being of children, then like let the parents take care of them and bring them back where they can still do an amazing job. Like it's going to take that new person almost as long as that person's maternity leave to catch up to like what they were at. It's just like, it's frustrating. You guys also are known for things like having the Mounties, who are cops, and all cops are bastards, but they wear red shirts and sometimes they ride mooses. They don't actually ride mooses.
No. But they ride horses.
They ride horses. They so have like RCMP, odd pants.
The RCMP is a very noble institution. Very symbolic of Canada, yes. The red serges are beautiful to look at. They're very iconic. The horses are amazing. They do a musical ride thing. Have you seen this?
Where
the
no.
Like horseback riding, it's sort of like a choreographed like 30 horses in all doing this choreographed ride to music. Yeah. Look up the
amazing
musical ride. And yeah. That said, it's a massive institution that was created to clear the prairies of the Indigenous people living here and to protect the mining and railroad interests of the people who were colonizing and basically extracting the resources from the ground. So it was a security force for colonizers. Let's not kid ourselves. There's so much internal sexism and racism within the Canadian RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So they have their issues. I don't know if they're making progress or they're just not quite as horrible as they were back in the day, but I don't know. There's still lots of issues, but they are a lovely Canadian thing. But they're like a national police force. We do have local police forces as well. Like larger cities will have
local like municipal police and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really definitely like I feel like we're definitely ragging on Canada, but Canada's also kind of a cool place. One thing I noticed when I was in Vancouver that I really loved is that you have blinky green lights there. Well, you, not you. The people of British Columbia have blinky lights, which indicates the light could change for a pedestrian.
Yes.
So
Well, that's what it means
it's
in
like
Vancouver.
it's green, but it might stop at some point in time. And doesn't you guys have blinky lights that don't mean the same thing? And
Right. Like,
oh.
it's actually what you've noticed is a usability problem with Canada. Like, in other places, a blinking green is an advanced left turn lane. It's or left turn signal. So
Oh my
if you
God.
get like where I live, if you get a blinking green, it means you have your direction completely has right of way. You can go straight through or you can turn left or right. Everybody else has reds.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
So if you ever are in Saskatchewan and you go to British Columbia, be careful. Like,
Exactly.
it's not a good idea to just
Not the
try
same.
to turn. You will hit a pedestrian or someone else.
Or a car.
I feel like when I was in Vancouver, even coming from Portland, it just seemed like sort of a nicer, more chill Portland. I
Yeah.
don't know. People were not as like not as talkative friendly, but like
Yeah.
seemed more genuinely friendly. Like, hey, I'm glad you're here, but like I'm not gonna just say hi every single time I see someone. Which
Right.
sometimes happens here. No one was like thanking the bus drivers as they got off the bus, which is really an annoying thing that people do in Portland. But yeah, and like between that and like changing my entire car over to using kilometers so that I could like not be completely confused by all the kilometer signs, it was pretty good. I think we talked about this before, but I got the Nexus Pass so I could go back and forth
Oh
more
yeah.
easily, which
Yeah.
has been really awesome. Don't want to get into the politics of like capitulating to the state apparatus for security, but I paid some money and got an interview, and now I can go to Canada easily, and I get TSA pre. But
Nice.
that means that going across the border is now just like showing them an ID card, which is kind of nice because when I go across the border as like a queer trans woman, and like most of my friends in Canada I know through the internet, when they're like, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "I'm going to see friends," and they're like, "How do you know the friends?" And I say, "Twitter." I got some really weird looks. So now I can avoid the looks. Because, like,
Nice.
I think I eventually was just like, I'm a lesbian. And they were like, what? And I was like, we talk online. I don't know, man. What do you want me to say? And they were like, do you have guns? It's like, no, I don't have any guns. Turns out we don't all have guns in America.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I recommend if you have never been, go, hang
Yes,
out.
we're lovely.
It's a lot of great stuff. Things are measured in grams. When you buy
No,
like
that's
meat,
false.
huh?
We don't measure things in grams
For me,
unless you're a scientist.
I went to a butcher shop where they measured the meat in grams.
Oh, yeah, I suppose maybe a butcher shop would.
So it,
It's about 500 grams to a pound, so
yeah, I was buying
just over
salami
two.
for a wedding, and I was like, I don't know how many grams I should buy. Probably a lot. So.
It's many hundreds,
Also, if you
yes.
invite me to your wedding in Canada, I'll bring you salami. So,
Nice.
I think that's an open offer.
I'm gonna write this down for my next wedding.
Or one day when your daughters are old enough to get married and I'm still around as like an old lady and we're on podcast episode 3000 or something and I show up with salami to Saskatchewan.
It'll be like as expected, as promised in episode 32.
As promised in episode 32. Yeah, I would say like my experiences of going there as an American have been pretty positive, but investigating like citizenship and things like that were similarly like eye-opening, just because I think there's an entitlement that a lot of like people from the U.S. Have that like, of
Yeah.
course we could just go to other countries and live there. Like that's just like, we're like the God's gift to the world, so we can just show up and people are like, welcome, American. But the truth is like, Canada has a complex and challenging immigration system, just like other countries, and like state sovereignty. And as much as I think borders are silly and state and country distinctions are like unnecessary, well, they exist. So getting into Canada, there's like a tool you can use to like figure out what number you get. there's like a number calculation of like different aspects of your life, and if they add up to a certain number, you could apply for a green card or a visa or something, and if they don't, you can't. And so it's things like being gainfully employed, you get points for being married to someone who's Canadian, you get points for like a lot of different things, and I think they like take off points for other factors. But it's, you know, if it is something you're ever seriously considering for whatever reason, you know, only a little bit of judgment, there's a website you're looking to for it. But but I have a lot of friends who are coming the other way too, where, you know, they've married an American and they're moving down here because for better or for worse, with as bad as the United States is often, there's a ton of work opportunities down here, and a lot of companies are paying pretty well, and the US dollar is a lot stronger than the Canadian dollar. So it's like, even you work for an American company, and it's it's a hard problem. One of my friends right now is waiting.
There's a lot of awesome Americans out there. Who do we like?
At least a few of us.
Yeah.
Do you know this? Maybe, I don't know if you know this or not, but when people from the United States, especially more liberal or leftist people, travel outside the country, they will often pretend to be Canadian. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's a really common thing to get treated better or not have to have difficult conversations, or like, you know, when you're traveling, when there's a president like 45 or one of the Bushes, it's just, it's a lot to get into every time. So I've definitely
heard that
participate
before.
In this a little bit. I don't outright deny it, but I do.
Sure.
It's the way to do it. Do you ever pretend to be American when you travel? Just to like rile people up?
I pretend to be American. I think when I travel, people assume I'm American until I open my mouth and start saying my round vowels. I would never pretend I was American, I don't think. Unless I'm like in the States and like there's a cop or something like that, I really don't want to deal. I have zero rights when I'm down there, so it's not quite true, but I just want to be like blend in.
It's scarier. Did you have fears when you were coming across the border this last time?
Completely. It was a lot of anxiety. It went fine this time. It did go fine for me. I like going into Portland for work. Yeah. It's important to me. I realize I don't have as much riding on getting into the US as a lot of people have.
But
I was pretty worked up about it, and I didn't want to have my phone searched because there's personal stuff on there, and there's chats with other people that I don't want CBE looking at. So
I think there's like your company has immigration lawyers, which is good. I've talked to some people who I know who have immigration lawyers set up for that kind of thing. And like, I don't know, I'm about to go to Japan again. And even as an American citizen, I'm like, what rights do I sacrifice trying to come back into my own country? And how much would I, you know, is it worth it to erase my phone and just have like minimal stuff on there and then like restore it when I get back? Or, you know, exactly. In what ways can you like kind of find a balance? It would be nice if we just had rights again, but that seems to go not be a thing. So but it's also made me consider, like, you know, I used to be much more interested in like going back and forth to Canada, and now I'm like, oh, that might actually be more of a hassle at this point. But I'll report back on how it goes coming back in, because when I came back from Japan this last time, it was the day before the inauguration, so I was like, oh, I get to like leave and come back to Obama's America. And now I'll be leaving and coming back to 45's America. And and I am a white, like, relatively well-off person who is still trans and queer, but not always directly visible in those ways because my documentation is lucky to match up. But it's some fear. It's some fear. My long-term goal is that I will just, you know, I think the most natural thing in the world is for Americans to just marry a Canadian, have an escape. I'm kidding.
I have two daughters.
There's dating websites.
They're very young.
we can unite the families in the next generation. Your daughters can marry my daughters, and we can create the podcast royalty. We can pass down the to the next generation.
I guess we're grown-ups' children now, something like
Yeah,
that. Yeah.
exactly. Just like we'll have to apologize to the kids, like, hey, we're really sorry, but you have to do this. It's just like
That's right.
it goes with the territory.
Marrying for love is over, children. You know,
Right.
marry
The
for.
Halsted Shelley Empire.
Yeah. Should
I
we wrap this up there, Brooke?
think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess long story short, Canada is a cool place, but also has a whole lot of problems, just like everywhere else. But hopefully now you know a little bit more about the unique and rich history of Canada. We'll give you links.
We'll give you links. There's links.
We'll give you links.
Yeah. So the podcast, if you found us randomly, is at goodstuff.fm/grownups. We're also on Twitter at grownups_FM. My Twitter handle personally is at KAYAYARAI. Brooke is.
At BROOKSHELLEY, which is my full name.
Nice. And thanks for listening, everybody. See you soon.
Yeah. Stay safe out there, and yeah, don't forget to take care of yourself.